Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the post-Christmas show. Chuck Bonniewell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie True Straight Up grassroots show for you.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to everybody. We had a wonderful Christmas. Hope you all did too. To me, a big portion of having a wonderful Christmas is having the meal turn out okay. I'm not the world's greatest cook, so there's always a certain amount.
You did a great job. You went beyond yourself this time. And we found a non-Femi church that was kind of very fundamentalist, and that might be good because I've been looking for one that isn't always telling you that everything is just hunky-dory.
What we're going to be talking about today is there is, as we speak, a stand-up to partisan hack judges who hate Trump rally going on at the Colorado Supreme Court. We're hoping to get one of the organizers, Darcy Schoening, with us there. I know she's running the event, so hopefully she'll be able to. And yeah, Thomas, just kind of keep trying her. And maybe, leave her a message or something like that, too, because I'm sure she's very busy. But it was interesting. So it kind of came together. And this is not a very good weekend to hold a Trump rally. So I'm not sure what kind of turnout they're going to get. But it was just another one going on Saturday. Trent Lisey and Joel Altman, Trent Lisey, the CD4 candidate, and Joel Altman have organized a convoy going from Fort Collins to Colorado Springs, I think, mm-hmm. too. That one is a total support Trump. But one of the things that came up, and we'll talk to Darcy just about the turnout and what's going on there. Obviously, this all has to do with the Supreme Court throwing Trump off the ballot. Another court, Michigan, yet again, said no, they declined to hear it. So Trump can stay on the ballot in Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also in California, I was reading Gavin Newsom is trying to convince them to not try to throw Trump off the ballot
right.
because it's doing more harm than good, they think. But one of the things that's come up about this, and I think it reared its ugly rhino head in the organizing of the rally that we're going to be talking to Darcy about, is there was discussion, I guess I should say, on social media from some people, rhinos, Republicans in name only, who didn't want to talk about Trump and they didn't want it to be like supporting Trump, which is inherently stupid since the whole reason they were having the rally is because the judges threw Trump off the ballot. So how could you hold a rally about that without mentioning Trump, right?
Because it would alienate. It wouldn't be a unifying message for all those Republicans in Colorado who hate Trump, i.e. the rhinos.
Right.
And they keep on saying they're huge, they're big, they're everything else.
There's five.
Yeah, five of them.
Maybe more, but maybe three.
Yeah, but the rhinos always tell you that the reason they're losing these days, the losing loss the last election in 2020, notwithstanding, or 2022, it appeared to be a great year, and they had all rhinos
running
was that they all hated Trump, so they voted against the rhinos anyway. And so that's their usual excuse for just about everything in their pathetic universe.
Right.
And so it's if they want to have a unity rally, you know it means unity only against you.
Well,
there's no unity in the rhino community. It's just how they can stab you in the back. Hide among you, and we're going to get that picture of a wolf among dogs somehow.
Oh, from the conservative treehouse. And the picture, if you have it in the conservative treehouse, they show a picture of, it's a fox. There's all these dogs. Pictures
hunting
of
dogs.
Hunting dogs. And then they show a fox in it. And
hiding
the fox
among them.
Hiding among them. But still, you can see it. But it is kind of interesting. I don't know what someone's problem would be mentioning Donald Trump.
Because they hate Trump.
Well, I know that's our problem, but it's sort of, it's ridiculous.
No,
How
sir.
could, well, I mean, it's ridiculous to say we shouldn't, because they didn't want it to be like supporting Trump, but it's like, well, it's about Donald Trump. It's, you know, now I think the Democrats, now that they've seen how this works, will probably try to throw all kinds of people off the ballot for all kinds of reasons from now on. So I think it's just like many things started with Trump, but there was a lot of criticism again with Trent Lisey doing the rally. Also a lot of support. I don't mean to say that. Both of these rallies have had a ton of support. But they're saying, well, but it's a supporting Trump thing. It's like,
Good.
right. But here's the thing, the rhinos, they just keep, they seem to ignore, and I guess they keep trying to tell the rest of us to ignore it, is Trump is by far the leading candidate. He is by far the most popular
No,
candidate.
but it's beyond that. It's you either believe in Trump or you're not a Republican these days, because that party of George Bush and Bill Owens and everything else is gone. And so if you don't like the new populist Republican Party, then please go away. Go to No Labels. Go to anywhere you want. We just don't want you in our tent. You
Yeah.
know,
Oh,
I mean, we don't want
it's
anywhere near our
fine. You can
tent.
come in our tent, but you can't talk if all you're going to do
No,
is
you can't
whine
come in the tent
about
either.
the
You
rest of
can't
us.
even be
All
close to the tent. You've got to
right.
be over this other side of the river with the Democrats. Go with them, because we don't want you.
No.
We don't want you.
It's interesting. There's talk again today, and you wanted to talk about DeSantis, about, you know, DeSantis' campaign continuing to implode. And I'm not sure how much of that is, you know, who's leaking what, and is it like Nikki Haley leaking stuff? I do think it's kind of funny that there was this social media rumor that Trump was going to pick Nikki Haley, and then Donald Trump Jr. comes on, and he's like, over my dead body. He's like, we're
No,
not.
but you have to understand that Dan Caplis, who we were on, and I like Dan, he's over at 710 and so forth, he's a rhino. He hides among us, pretending he kind of likes Trump, but he didn't really. He was a Democrat, and he's a rhino, though he, you know, tapers it down a little bit. So he's been speaking, and I've, you know, there's no other conservative radio on these days, local anyway, so Dan is it for a lot of the times. But he said, "Oh, I support Nikki Haley. She's great." What does that tell you?
Warmonger.
Warmonger. I mean, it means that they just wanted, just like they got George W. Bush after Reagan, and he destroyed the brand.
That make we've got Darcy with us now.
All right.
So hey, I'm so Darcy Schoening. She's one of the organizers of the Stand Up to Partisan Hack Judges Who Hate Trump rally. Hey, Darcy, I know you're in the middle of the rally right now, so thank you for taking time. But thank you for joining us. And how is it going down there at the Colorado Supreme Court building?
Great, great. We had several attendees, and Senator Beasley showed up and gave a great speech, and it went well.
All right. Why don't you explain what, I mean, this is a tricky weekend or week to be trying to do this, but how, why did you guys, because we would have come, but we're doing our podcast, right? Why did you decide to do this?
Well, I thought it would be good to keep the momentum alive. There's another event on Saturday, but we've got to keep the pressure and the media attention on these partisan hack judges and Jenna Griswold and just keep the pressure on.
Right. What is, you know, I think you guys, I'm assuming you weren't like the pro-Palestinian people trying to block airport access and close down, you know, Spear Boulevard, or not Spear Boulevard, but Bannock and stuff like that. Was it an actual mostly peaceful protest or rally?
Oh, it was totally peaceful. There wasn't even anyone from the left present. It's been totally peaceful.
What, you know,
My
let me ask.
kids were there. It was that peaceful.
Okay, there you go. Well, good for them. What can I want to ask you just a little bit your opinion on the whole thing, because on one hand, we're so used anymore to just the political, you know, things being so weaponized, the legal system. But what's your, I mean, could you imagine ever having a day when the Colorado Supreme Court, it's embarrassing to be from Colorado right now, would throw the leading Republican candidate off the ballot over this trumped up, pardon my pun there, trumped up accusation that's total fake news?
No, I mean, and that's one of the things that I just said at the rally about 10 minutes ago is that I never thought that I would wake up and live in a country like this. We had several illegal immigrants that attended, and they came from China, North Korea, and Cuba. And that's what they said, that they didn't expect to escape communism to come here and find more communism. It's a slap in the face. And that's exactly what this is.
Well, you know, the problem for Julie is that she's been asleep for many, many years. And honestly, the Colorado Supreme Court has been rigged against average Coloradans for over a decade. Back in 2012, they decided they didn't like the map that had been drawn up. And even though they had no legal right to do it, they decided to draw up their own map.
For and legislative districts.
For legislative districts in particular. And so as a practical matter, for, I don't know, 6-7 years until the ballot harvesting started really going in, the majority of Republicans would vote for Republican House members. There'd be more Republican votes for House member than Democrat votes. But every time, the Democrats would have it because they were so badly gerrymandered. They seized and anytime if you try cases in Colorado, every judge, active judge, has been appointed by a Democrat, right. And they are even worse and worse
what
under Polis.
The Masterpiece Cake Shop.
The Masterpiece Cake Shop, everything through. We've got to get rid of the court system. I mean, somebody's got to realize that we just can't keep going, the Supreme Court overturned it. We've got to do some other system than the present one. And there has to be saying no. One easy way would be vote no for all the judges. And always vote no for all the judges, except if one you particularly like. But this has to be a bigger one than just a rally one day. It's got to be, they've stolen the court system. And now people realize they've stolen the court system, and we've got to make it a sustained effort to somehow do something so the court system isn't so awfully rigged at all levels.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it's easy for us to say, okay, well, the Supreme Court's going to handle it. Let's have a rally here, a rally there. But that doesn't help the average everyday Coloradoan who enters the court system or who has a grievance. And that's where we've got to focus. And to me, you know, this is what I continue to reiterate. I work a lot in the educational system, fighting back against the teachers union. And we have to take our conservative pockets, like El Paso County, like La Plata County in pockets of it, because La Plata is now turned blue, but take our conservative pockets and really put pressure on those entire court systems, the school systems there, because, you know, as I just got there saying, we might be in the super minority at the Capitol, but we're not in the super minority across the state of Colorado. So we have to stand together.
Unfortunately, you are in the super minority in every courtroom throughout Colorado.
In the courtroom.
Every courtroom.
She just means, but there's more people-wise, we have power.
Well, I know, but it doesn't do you good if you let's say it's a 90% county, Republican county. All the judges are Democrats. You don't get a single hearing at a single time that is fair to you.
Because they're all
you no longer have trials by your peers. You have these jerried up court system, and the fight against the court system and its rigging people have to realize they've been cheated. Their judges, their justices of the hall are not justice centers anymore. They are DEI, Democrat, left wing things. And all the clerks, all the employees, everyone in those courts, you call for jury duty, you're being rigged by a court system.
Totally rigged. It's no different than the schools or anything else right now. It's what we're willing to accept. I mean, we're the frog in boiling water right now.
Right.
Well, and Darcy, and I know, so I promise we wouldn't keep you because I know you're rallying.
Rallying.
But I want to give you credit because I know sometimes it's easy to get discouraged and it's a holiday season and there's just so much to we need to rally for and stand up for and fight against. You know, I mean, it would have been easy for people to just said, you know what, it's just happy holidays. I'm not, you know, but if you don't, it's exactly what you said. If we don't stand up, because that's what they're counting on, right? They're counting on wearing us down. They're counting on us saying, well, you know, maybe it'll get violent or la la la, maybe Antifa will be there. They're counting on that. And I just want to give you and the folks who showed up there so much credit for not letting them win that way.
Thank you. That means a lot. We all have to do our part. And that's how I look at this every single day. I have a 7 and an 8-year-old son and daughter. And I'm afraid of the country that they're going to live in. You know, I'm 42 years old. I hope I've got many years ahead of me. But if I were to die tomorrow, I would just be terrified of what they're faced with every day, every month, every year of their lives. And so we all have to push back. We have to keep standing up because, like you said, they're counting on us not to do anything. They're counting on us to use the old Republican mantra of, oh, it's someone else's problem. It's not someone else's problem. It's my problem. It's all of our problem.
And I also want to compliment you for not falling for the betrayals within the end. I know there were calls to, let's just make this a unity deal. And kind of go,
oh,
no.
Thank you.
That is.
I'm glad you found out about that.
Yeah, those are your those are the traitors in our midst.
Wait, do you want to address it? Because you're right. Not sure. Only tragically, sometimes are we fighting the Democrats? Sometimes we're fighting, sort of like, you know,
well, all the time we're fighting
the Democrats. Yeah, the people, yes. Well, why don't you address it?
Sure. So there was a certain faction of the party, a couple ladies, one in particular that, you know, wanted to keep Trump's name off this whole thing, wanted to make it a quote-unquote bipartisan effort, attract independents. But in the end, it doesn't work that way. They're fighting Trump. They're not, the Democrats are not keeping DeSantis off the ballot. They're not keeping Biden off the ballot. They're not keeping Kennedy off the ballot. This is all about Trump because Trump is a threat to their road to communism. So for us to back off of President Trump when he needs us most, that's not something that I was willing to do. And so there were some people that dropped out of this event. Like I said, one of the organizers, the lady who was organizing it with me, she did drop off and pulled some support with her, including Kim Monson from the Kim Monson Show. They decided that it was too pro-Trump. And that's who we're fighting for because right. He's the one fighting for us.
And I could understand even a little bit that argument if Trump or some obscure candidate that had zero chance of winning. But he is, when these people try to say, and I'm kind of disappointed in Kim Monson, I'll say that, although it may be.
We don't know at all. I think Kim is great.
Right.
Some of the others I know really have been. They were against the opt-out. They were against everything. And they really are just betrayers in our midst.
They keep trying to convince us that no one likes Trump. Trump is by far the most popular candidate. So number one, like you said, the whole thing is aimed at Trump. So you couldn't do it without talking about Trump. It's ridiculous.
No.
I don't want to hear Republicans talk about bipartisan anymore because every time you do
it.
Exactly. It doesn't go the other way. Right. And so to try to say that that we shouldn't be talking about that the most popular candidate is divisive. It's ridiculous. It's not even true. You know, and they just don't like it for their own power play.
Because they don't like Trump.
Right.
They don't like the populist wing of the Republican Party. And they're the George Bush rhino faction that is every bit as awful as the Democrats. I mean, they are every bit as much our enemy as the Democrats.
No, they totally are. I mean, I just finished my term on Monument City Council, and you know, I served with all Republicans, quote unquote. And there was always this, well, we have to stay out of this. We don't want to get involved in this political thing. We don't want to write a resolution to become a two-way sanctuary town because that's too political. And it's like, that's what the Democrats are counting on. They're counting on you to say that. And every time you give them an inch, they take a mile, but they never give us an inch.
No, exactly. Well, Darcy, listen, we'll let you get back to that. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
For your work.
Thank you, guys.
People could have done nothing, and you're one of those warriors. So we all need you, and we appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate all you do, you guys. Happy holidays. Okay. Merry Christmas.
All right. Thank you. Same to you. Happy New Year, too. And then Leah was saying, no, Chuck, rhinos are worse. At least the Democrats, how they're going to bend you over. That's true. Well, now, do you want to? So we have, I don't know if you guys have heard about it or not, but there is a website out there. It's been around for a little bit now. It's called rhinowatchco.com. rhinowatchco.com. And there was an interesting.
It's a great site. And they even carry some of our programs on it, and it's great.
And Brian Jundep, the character of Kids Dash App, Todd Watkins.
Yeah, they got everybody.
They got all kinds of stuff. But there was an interesting exchange. One of the lead stories in it a couple of weeks ago was sort of attacking rhinos for not supporting Lauren Boebert. She's the incumbent congresswoman from District 3. And so what happens, all of the usual suspect rhinos, many of whom I don't think anyone knew were even alive still. They were like all in their 90s, a little facetious there, but not by much. And they're all supporting this other person, Jeff Hurd, in the Republican primary. Now, why in your right mind would you want to primary, right?
The incumbent. Who won by 500 plus votes and by being primaried, is probably going to lose.
And who has a good voting record. I could see primarying Doug Lamborn.
No, according to them, he does not have a... She does. They don't like that. They like the bipartisan. No, you have to understand how awful these people are.
So anyway, so that was the lead story. And there was this hilarious... Claudia Beaupre, and I'll let you kind of go through it, wrote a letter to the editor kind of thing saying, this is terrible. We need to unify. And it's like, you're the ones not unifying.
Well, this is Claudia Beaupre. She's the wife of Bob Beaupre, who was the, congressman. Both ways, Bob, as you may know,
gubernatorial.
And this is her. And we had said, so Rhino Watch returned. Rhino Watch said, thank you, Ms. Beaupre, for your thoughts on rhinowatch.com. Let me finish.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for providing your thoughts on Rhino Watch. Here is the email you sent us. And she sent one saying, why don't you spend your time and money on defeating Democrats instead of bashing Republicans? We can't win in Colorado if you continue to have your guns pointed inward.
Now, keep in mind, she's talking about the article was about them, the rhinos, pointing their guns inward at Lauren Boebert, right? I mean, she's complaining. So they're spending their time and money trying to defeat not the Democrat, but the Republican.
And they wrote back, we're a little confused. Colorado Right Now, a secret offshoot of your husband's Colorado Pioneer Action, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in mailers defaming and attacking various grassroots incumbent Republican state representatives, including Joe Loebin. The mailers declared that Loebin advocated for open borders, legalizing all drugs, including heroin, allowing ISIS to terrorize the world. Mr. Loebin was a grassroots Republican, a veteran, and a committed Christian who held exactly the opposite viewpoints. Colorado Pioneer Action was later ordered by a judge to pay $17,325 for failing to register as a political action committee.
These are Beaupre organizations.
Yes, while claiming to be a social welfare thing. I mean, it's just, and then they points out all the other ones. I mean, that's what they mean by unity. That is unity. And that anytime you hear unity, it's meant after they squashed and destroyed a grassroots person and they want you to go in. And I promise you, if they're successful in getting Lauren Boebert off the primary, and of course it's going to be easy because it's a semi-open one, so all the Democrats can vote to get her off. They'll say, we must unify under Jeff Hurd.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody. Let's get together.
Yeah, unify. That's right.
and so any person backing Jeff Hurd stinks. They just stink. And that includes Bob Beaupre. It includes...
It's Bill Owens, Daniel
Ritchie. Daniel Ritchie, all
the usual suspects.
Yeah, Bruce Benson.
But that's the thing, right? It is discouraging, but, you know, it's something I think that is important to call people out when it happens, because they also are counting on grassroots people to just not want to rock the boat. And I think we're seeing more and more people are like, not rocking the boat. Man, we're going to jump up and down. Yeah. We're turning it. I mean, you know, we're taking control. It's a mutiny, basically, is what it is, and they don't like mutiny. Well, going into that, wanted to talk a little bit about the Ron DeSantis campaign problems. One interesting thing, because I know you wanted to talk about what went wrong with DeSantis, but I think this is interesting. Vivek Ramaswamy is somewhat of a disruptor, and I'm still not sure, I got to admit, on his motivation, right? But one of the things he's doing, and we're 3 weeks away from the Iowa caucus, right? Where Trump is still leading by like forever, and everyone else is hoping for a Hail Mary. But DeSantis has pulled a bunch of his TV ads, which is usually a bad sign in a campaign. It indicates, one, there's not as much money as they were hoping, particularly the first caucus, right? The first one in Iowa. And secondly,
he had his whole campaign based on not so much New Hampshire or South Carolina, which followed, but on Iowa.
And so to be pulling ads and spending less money is an indicator that they have internal polling that shows that he's not going to win.
Well, one Republican coordinators. We're just trying to keep the patient calm and comforted.
Well, I think they're looking
before they kill him because he's done.
They're starting to look ahead and try to preserve his future. But interestingly, Vivek Ramaswamy also pulled all of his media money from the ads. Now, it could be for similar reasons, right? That he knows he's not going to win. But what he is doing is spending, because it costs a lot less. He said the return on investment for TV ads, because nobody watches TV anymore.
Right.
And he said, and this is smart. This is what Republicans need to do. He said, instead, what we're going to do is take the money, use it very direct on social media. We're going to text. We know who our likely voters are. And we're going to be spending all of our time and effort identifying them and trying to get them to the caucus,
right,
which is smart. Although it could just also be, but why don't we were talking earlier and you wanted to talk about what went wrong with DeSantis.
Right. And former Wisconsin Mayor Walker wrote a letter early on saying, don't do what I did. He said, all the smart boys came up to me and said, look, don't take any new positions. The positions you took in Wisconsin, your record is unassailable in Wisconsin, and just ride on that. And that way you won't, you know, annoy any other people. Everybody will be behind you. He said, that was such a mistake. He said, I just killed my campaign by doing that. And I can't tell you, having run campaigns, how many people think that their curriculum vitae, their past or something else is going to have them win. So they constantly talk about what they've done. Nobody cares about what you've done, except that it proves what you're going to do in the future. Elections are always about the future. And I can't believe how many campaigns and people said, well, I got this passed. Nobody cares. It's already passed. I mean,
what are you doing now?
Winston Churchill decided he would run on the fact that he'd save the world. No one cared. He got routed by Clement Attlee, who he said, a modest man who has much to be modest about.
Like when Rev says, what's for dinner? And I said, well, we had meatloaf last
year.
It's like, so?
Yeah, it's just how many campaigns are blown up because people go, well, I went to so-and-so and I'm a businessman. Nobody cares if you're a businessman unless you're going to apply it to the future. And so that's exactly what Ron DeSantis did. He's taken no controversial positions, nothing. Ukraine comes up and he says, well, that's an internal battle and over in Europe. And Ken Griffin, the head of a hedge fund and whatever, said, shut up. You know, you're not going to do that anymore. And so he didn't. And so he's lost. Now, he's also lost for the few who actually saw what he was, and Sundance is the first one, who said that he is just a corporatist. He won't talk about trade policy. He won't talk about China. He'll just talk maybe, you know, CCP stuff, but he won't, because all the globalists want trade with China. They don't want jobs coming back to the United States, so they don't talk about it. So that small percentage realize, and you don't hear many people say, you know, but he's really just bought and paid for by the globalist, which is absolutely true.
That's part of his problem, because he can't get up on a debate stage and say certain things because the globalists don't like him.
And he can't come up with new ones saying, you know, I don't know what the new one would be, but you'd have to come, the damn office, you know, I will seek legislation that every Obama appointee is indicted.
Yeah. No, he can't say no. And I think, and people have now realized it. And then on top of it, he's not a particularly good campaigner, in part because it's hard to be authentic when you're being controlled by the puppet masters, the globalists. Hey, Jacob, go ahead. You have your hand up. What do you want to say?
Where was Phil Weiser on this whole case against getting Trump off the ballot?
I think he was.
He was all for it. I mean, he had to be because it's.
It's yeah. The secretary. It was. They were suing. The case is actually Norma Anderson and the other three versus Jenner Griswold. So
he's required to defend.
But I don't think he had a problem with it at all.
Oh,
right?
God, no. He was
he's happy.
Well, then he's an attorney general that is against due process, I would assume.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You've got an attorney general of the United States. Is against due process.
It's kind of like Eric Holder, okay, only in Denver.
But this bothers me is because he worked for the administration, according to his campaign, that he worked for Janet Reno, who turned around and burned down the Branch Davidian complex in Waco.
Yeah.
And there was no due process there either.
That was a little harsher, but yeah. Well, he's not tricking anybody or even trying to be tricky about his position.
I mean, lawfare.
Well, he is being tricky because when he ran, he said he was the child of Holocaust survivors.
Right,
and he was lying.
He
did in the Holocaust.
And,
He lied to you.
That's what they did in the Holocaust. They went and they trapped people in a synagogue and they wrapped it and burned it down.
Yeah. No, I mean,
he worked for them.
He's a George Soros. I mean, keep in mind, the guy had no legal experience, right? Like zero.
Well,
no
litigation experience.
Yeah, no courtroom stuff. And he won. I mean, he's a total George Soros funded. Yeah.
And none of those Democrats in the Obama Justice Department believe in anything. Nothing. Right. I mean, they're just evil.
We can't have a special election now if we got enough signatures to vote out all these judges also.
Monica Marquez, the Supreme Court justices have a 10-year term. There's only one who's up in 2024, and that's Monica Marquez.
But the key is
vote no on her. But the others aren't up for like 4 years.
But the whole system craters if all of a sudden you recall that it's about a third of the judges are up in a particular cycle.
Yeah.
You voted them all out. All the system would just blow up. So if you had every Republican vote no,
I vote no every time that comes up. I don't care if it's states, district, or whatever.
Yeah,
I vote no
on every
one.
Well, I think we have the Republican Party say, you know, we're tired of a crooked court system and we want everyone recalled.
Can you recall a judge? I don't even know.
They can impeach him.
But they're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that either. But I think you're right, though, Jacob. It pays, you know, pay attention. And, you know, again, it's tricky and tough in Colorado because we're up against.
This is so embarrassing to the state.
I think so.
It really is embarrassing. It's really, really embarrassing. And heaven forbid, if Trump wins, I mean, he's going to go after the state of Colorado, unless the northern part, who was always talking about seceding, really secedes now.
There we go. Well, Weld County, not anymore. Weld County is Rhino Central, I think. So they would secede if Trump was elected, I think. Hey, Jacob, thank you.
Thanks, Go ahead. Have a good day. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. One of the other things I wanted to talk about, so this is interesting, kind of tying with the whole Trump court thing. So Associated Press over the weekend and the past few days, I guess my days are all screwed up, were saying, violent rhetoric against the judges who the Colorado
Supreme
Court
judges. They're the victims.
Violent rhetoric, blah, blah, blah. They're talking about all these social media things, except none of it was true. And Julie Kelly did a great job deconstructing it. But I do want to, I mean, it was so not true that even CNN, while their headline says violent rhetoric against judges, right, and police investigating, was forced to acknowledge that the whole thing, there was nothing to it. There were no threats. Thomas, if we could please play the CNN soundbite.
The Denver police did have to respond to what they said was a hoax report at one of the justices' residences. No specific threats to the justices in those forums, from what we understand. So no specific threats at this time that are requiring law enforcement to make arrests. Those are very non-specific threats at this time. There has also been generally law enforcement looking into the discussion about these justices on online forums, particularly some general discussion among extremists and people who are pro-Trump.
I mean, that was, so here, let me lay the facts out. Julie Kelly did a good job. So these extremists, these far right groups, right, are not far right groups at all. They are trolls that are paid for and manufactured by a guy by the name of Dan Jones. Dan Jones was one of the players in the Fusion GPS scheme with the Steele dossier, right? And so he, after he did that, he was with intelligence. He was on the Senate, Democrat staffer for the Senate Intelligence Committee, right? It's this guy's job now, and he does opposition research now, right? So it's his job to manufacture this false, it's fake extremist stuff on social media, right? And then he does an interview in the New York Post talking about, it's awful, all this stuff. So what he does is he pays to generate the extreme comments against the judges. Then he goes out and does news conferences on it, and they actually call the police and say, we're finding all of these far-right extremists making comments, blah, blah, blah. And the police, I mean, they didn't say it wasn't unfounded. They said it was a hoax. That's what they mean when they say it was a hoax. Not that there was actual discussion in any kind of far-right groups. A hoax means that it was a lie, that it was just made up. So be careful. But it was all over the place. It's still up on the Denver Post website.
When they went after the Supreme Court justices, And Garland's State Department refused to arrest anybody.
Right.
You know, do they care? No, because what Garland didn't want him killed, because that would make him a martyr. He wanted to make him scared so they'd do what Obama and the Obama Justice Department.
Well, look what they're doing to Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the attacks against him. So that's the kind of thing you got to be careful of anymore. It's like, talk about the fake news. And that's why these liberal organizations or the progressive or communist organizations or their evil organizations. So they generate this stuff. They make it up. And then they turn around and call and report it. Yeah. Right. And then they turn around and report, oh, the police are investigating. It's like, it's just not true at all. But that's a kind of disinformation and the kind of things that they're pressuring Twitter and other places like that to censor. Right. So that was one thing. The other thing I saw over the weekend that we have to play for you guys, I don't know if you saw this, but
this is excellent. You'll be thrilled.
Jared Polis.
You thought your Christmas carols were over. No. Not on the Chuck and Julie show.
It's a Christmas message from our governor, Jared Polis. If we could please play the Polis soundbite, Thomas.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Prospero Año y Felicidad.
So for those of you who couldn't hear, that was Jared Polis singing Feliz Navidad.
In awful Spanish.
No,
off tune.
On the same day that there's that caravan coming, 15,000 strong now, right, illegal immigrants coming here. Right. More illegal immigrants have entered the country under Biden than the population of 26 states. So I guess that's why he's singing Feliz Navidad.
We'll be hearing a lot of that.
Because we need, yes, Thomas is going, yikes. Leo says, crap, eggnog all over my keyboard. I know. And it's like, and we're laughing. It's like, now Jared Polis is a weird guy. He's gotten, even Westward said that was kind of cringy. Because I don't know what the dancing, I don't know what that actually was.
Well, there's some kind of sexual symbol to it, but who knows?
I think it was cultural appropriation, right? He's like, but anyway, so that was weird.
It could be interpreted lots of different ways.
It could be. Another one, this is kind of a funny one too. And this is, guys, a sign that the world is, like I said, it's slowly turning our way. There was apparently last week at an airport, a confrontation, well, I'm not even going to call it a confrontation, a videotape was taken of this trans actor who I never heard of.
Dorfman.
Yeah, Tommy.
Everybody's heard.
Tommy Dorfman.
He was Tommy Dorfman.
And a show that I never heard of. But he is friends with Dylan Mulvaney.
Yeah,
was at the airport, and he was misgendered. And the Delta, wait till you see what the Delta employee, I mean, imagine, this is like Christmas, going home for Christmas, there's 8 million people behind you, everything's frazzled, there's weather issues, all kinds of stuff, and you've got this jerk trying to say, you misgendered me, and they do it on purpose. It's just the PR stunt. If we could please play the Delta soundbite.
And what about when a Delta employee misgenders you intentionally?
While he's talking, you're talking.
You just misgendered me again.
Okay.
Multiple times.
Gotcha.
Both of you have.
Sorry. Wasn't intentional, but if you want to take it personal, that's also...
Well, she did do it intentionally twice.
Gotcha.
You said she and then you said he.
You're being condescending, and if you want to continue, I have full authority to escort you out the building right this moment if you want to play that game with me.
Okay.
Would you like to continue 3 days before Christmas? I really don't mind.
I'm good. I'll just put this on.
Thank God for that. Delta. People online were saying, I'm going to start flying Delta again. I mean, here's this guy, because you know they deliberately go up there, right? Yeah. And so somebody in line at the Delta counter says he, she, having no clue that you're a world famous friend of Dylan Mulvaney's, so that you, I mean, you know, how would you even know, right? And then, and can you imagine if I were the person behind them, I would like, but they're, you know, it's like all these people trying to get home or trying to get someplace. It's chaotic. And this guy wants to be offended about that. And here's the reality, he's not offended by it. The whole thing is, I mean, we just played it, right? It's a publicity stunt, right? But the good news is, I would say a year ago, year and a half ago, the Delta person would probably be fired already now. Delta better not cave in. Delta better not cave in. They better look at what happened to Bud Light and look at what happened to Target. And this time the employers-
Bud Light's okay. They paid off Kid Rock. So he's for him, and they
Peyton Manning.
And I'm starting to hate anybody that Bud Light has bought off.
Right. But I think what's interesting, though, is this employee said the perfect thing. He's like, I have the authority to have you escorted out of here. You want to do that? We'll go there. We'll go there because I don't care. And all the people behind him are probably going, do it. So the time when, you know, they could scare you and back you down and do all
that. Well, no, you may have noticed, you played again, the did not misgender him, except he said you. Is you a misgendering? Because you is gender neutral. But if somebody says, you just misgendered me, you don't remember if you use pronouns or not.
Right. Well, and I guess what we also don't see is how is a person dressed, right? Sometimes, I mean, so that could be confusing as well.
No.
Well, I mean, in other words, all I'm just saying is, if you're a Delta employee, you may have, because it's not legal to ask somebody. It's like, how do you sexually identify, right? You're just in line at the frickin' ticket counter, right? You don't know. All you know is what these people look like. But I think, though, that is a good sign. Let's see, from Jim Jackson, I figured it out. There are three genders, he, she, it. And from Jacob, Jesse Kelly had a great show on communism using the Francisco Franco story. Oh, thank you. He'll email the link. And then Leo says, I just use asshole as a pronoun. Yeah, against everybody else. That's right. Maybe that's what you could say, asshole. You're an asshole. So, but that is changing. And I think people are getting sick of it. And I think we've talked about it before in the show, but even pushing back with the rhinos, right? It's like, they don't want you to hold the rally. It's like, okay, we'll go ahead and hold the rally anyway.
Yeah.
Don't you think? And I think that's why Ron DeSantis, in spite of all of the, you know, the Sea Island / Phil Anschutz backers pushing DeSantis, it's not working. Pushing Nikki Haley, not working.
Well, now they're trying to get a Nikki Haley as VP. You know, that's their big, that's Dan Kaplis's, that's what all of them want. Just so if Trump should be removed, you'd have Nikki Haley. I mean, they're not going to fall for it. Trump has made a lot of bad personnel moves, but boy, he better not make a bad one this time.
The conservative treehouse guy proposed, what do you think of this? And what do you guys think of this? Dr. Ben Carson as a vice presidential candidate.
I don't like him.
How come? I mean,
because he's got to be somebody who the left fears more than Trump. So it's got to be Carrie Lake. It's got to be a Rick Grenell. It's got to be anybody that can go, well, if we take out Trump, we'd get Carson. We could push Carson around. You could have somebody that they're just as feared of as Trump, and not somebody who they say, well, I mean, God, we could push him around a little bit.
Well, that's what I kind of think, too, of this from Jacob. Jim, Bill O'Reilly thinks the progressive movement peaked in August. And then Jim Jackson, way more assholes in this work world than there are asses. That's true. You know, I don't know on that, Jacob, if I agree with that or not. I think that I'm not so sure the progressive movement has peaked. I think what's happened is more and more people have been what I called red-pilled. I think the sleeping giant has been, well, no, because I think the progressives are not going to give up. They're not going to peak and then go away.
Well, that's not what they're saying. He's saying, well, I think you're saying the same thing, quite frankly.
Oh, well, yeah. I just think, maybe I'm just saying we cannot let our guard down, right? I think more and more people are realizing what the progressive thing is really about. I mean, there was even NBC was like, my gosh, there are a lot of people coming across the border here. I've never seen it like this. Of course, I haven't been here for 20 years, but, you know, actually we've never been here at all, like Kamala Harris. And I think people look at that. I think people look at what's going on in the schools. I think people look at the ridiculousness of this whole and the transgender thing. I mean, it's a weaponization of this. You can't offend me. Since when do you have a right to not be offended? Right. I mean, but somehow or another, that's what people think.
Well, I point out that, you know, the Trudeau's, they put tampons in the men's bathrooms in the parliament. I mean, what does that prove? I mean, does it prove that guys, you know, oh yeah, there's a tampon or, yeah. I mean, what is it supposed to do? How is it supposed to push their agenda? I mean, you know, somebody said it's stop stigmatizing menstruation. Kind of go, how does that help? I mean, I don't get how it helps.
Well, and this is my theory on it. It's just like in 1984, 4 + 4, or, you know, what, 2 + 2 = 5, Wilson, just say it. They want you, and they just do it in little ways, right? That's what I was saying. Thank God for Darcy saying no. I mean, yes. We're going to draw a line here. They want you to say, okay, fine. You know, we all know that there's no need to have tampons in a men's bathroom, but do I really want to fight that? It's stupid. So you let it go. And so all of a sudden you tacitly now are saying, okay, well, men can have periods. Right. And when little boys go into that, I mean, that's a thing too. It's aimed at kids. Little boys go into there and they're like, oh, do little boys have periods? And well, now you have to say, yes, they can have periods, even though they can't. So they want us to say, you know, men can have babies. They want us to say all of this stuff. It's like, they're not illegal immigrants. They're, I forget what. They're not homeless people. They're unhoused. It's like, what? It's all of this stuff they want. Slowly, it is, as Darcy said, the boiling frog, right? You just keep taking their lie after their lie after their lie. And all of a sudden you turn around and your culture is significantly changed. And you're like, how did we even get here? Like, how did we get to a point where somehow having essentially pornography performed in kindergartners, and it's okay as long as it's transgender people, right? It's like somehow that's okay.
Why that happened is that for so long the Republican Party here in Colorado, but all over, it's been headed up by people like Bill Owens, who says, oh yeah, the left doesn't like Tabor, I'll get rid of Tabor. Oh, that's great. And Hank Brown and Bruce Benson and all of them. They're awful. Every one of them is so weak, so pathetic that the Democrats go, God, we can just keep on pushing forever because these nerd bounds.
And all of a sudden, and here's from Jacob. I agree with this. Transgenders want your children. They do. I mean, I think there is, you see this push now too, right? If it's like, you know, you love who you love, and what if you love a five-year-old, right?
That's
where they're going with that. And there again, it is the breakdown of all of the social morals,
right,
and
right.
societal constraints and the kind of things that keep us together. That's why they want to get rid of families and all of that, because if you have, you know, a dad who says, you're not doing that.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
My kid is, I'm not taking my son into a bathroom. Or if you're in the bathroom with your son and the son says, Dad, what is that? And that's for periods. And the boy says, you say, hell no, right? They don't want us doing that. And then Leo says, means the male politicians in Canada are pussies. No offense, Julie. Well, again, and I think.
And in Colorado.
Colorado.
That's what the rhinos do have pussies. I mean. Just incredible.
Well, yeah. And again, but the underlying goal is this chaos in society. It's so you don't know what's right or wrong anymore. Well, you do, but you just can't say it out loud. That's their goal. And I think Bill O'Reilly may be, I hadn't heard him say that, but he could be onto something like that. It's people are now pushing back. People are saying, that's not true. Actually, men can't have babies. You know, actually, I do want my kid to, you know, my kid is not a racist at age one simply because he or she or it or they was born white, right? I mean, people are
or acknowledge he's a racist. Just keep on playing their game, saying, okay, he's a one-year-old racist. Good. You know, fine. He's a one-year-old racist.
You know, some of this stuff going on with the courts too. People wake up and people are like, okay, you know, maybe I don't like Trump either, but I don't think the judges should be taking people off the ballot. I mean, even, and particularly because it makes Trump look better. And then one other thing, this is kind of funny too, talking about the Democrats playing. So Jack Smith, the guy prosecuting Trump for the January 6th stuff and the documents thing, filed a motion today, even though the judge told them to quit filing motions because they got to wait to see if the Supreme Court is going to take it.
It doesn't bother them.
Yeah, filed the motion anyway. Saying that he wants to prohibit the jury from learning anything, number one, about what Trump did to prepare or try to prepare for the January 6th rally. And they don't want them to also learn anything about undercover FBI agents or informants that were in the crowd, saying there would be no evidentiary value to that at all, right? And he's filed a motion to that. I think here again, and his reasons for filing this is he does not want the January 6th trial to turn political. He's opposed to Trump speaking out about it and turning it political. There again, I mean, that's a language.
But it's you have to understand, that's what courts have done now.
Yeah.
You go to trial and the key is to get all the evidence on your side or their side excluded.
Right.
And so like the January 6th defendants were not allowed to say that there's entrapment. They were not allowed to bring it up.
Look at the video.
So the judges just rule everything out, and that's common now. I mean, in all kinds of cases where the judges go, oh, I can control what happens here. I don't have to worry that stupid jury. I won't let them hear anything.
Well, that's what happened with the Trump case. There was no criminal charge of an insurrection. So there was, I mean, he was never even accused of it, right? Certainly wasn't convicted of it, but they found him guilty of it anyway, even though there wasn't even the other side presented, right?
And
again,
that's what Colorado did. That's what the, you know, that a district court judge did. I mean, she just had a great time, you know, saying, okay, this has to be done in 2 days. I'll make it 2 months. And I mean, just they obey nothing. They care about nothing. And they expect you to go, Your Honor. Yeah, Your Honor.
But here's my concern, too, because, you know, you're reading, I read a lot of analysts who say, you know, that it's Jack Smith wants to try to have this trial and everything over before the campaign season, right? So everybody will disqualify
before the election.
Before the election, rather. It's looking more and more like that's not going to be able to happen in pretty much any of the cases that they have against
him. Oh, no, they'll get one through.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think it matters. I mean, people are saying, well, then he won't because of the optics would be so bad going after the actual candidate. They don't care. They don't care. I mean, every time you say they would never do that, stop, smack yourself, and say they would absolutely do that, and something even more awful.
One of our good friend George Brockner's thing, he's saying, well, you know, I don't believe he should be taken off the ballot before he's been convicted of anything. You kind of go, what do you mean?
Well, yeah,
if he had been convicted or is convicted, you're happy for him to be taken off the ballot? Oh, because, you know.
If he was convicted of what? Spending hush money? I mean, it's you're right. That was an alarming statement on my part. Because it shows this willingness to buy the Democrat lie that the courts are operating fairly.
That's why the one-year-old's a racist. Because you can't go, oh, no, he's not a racist. Little Tommy, he's not a racist. Burp. You know what I mean?
There you go. Hey, listen, that's going to do it for us. Thank you to Darcy and all of the
folks. Yeah, and good work down there, Darcy, and fighting off the rhinos, too.
That's right. And everybody here, thank you to Thomas. We will see you again. We're still putting together the show on Friday, but there's all kinds of stuff going on, so who knows? We will see you all on Friday. Everybody have a great week, the rest of the week.
Bye-bye.